In the last episode, where I described why Clausewitz is important to understanding modern war, I said that there are those who prefer Sun Tzu. I also said that that was a subject for another podcast. This is that podcast. Welcome to The Ancient Art of Modern Warfare. I'm Chris Mayer, retired U.S. Cavalry Colonel and former instructor of the U.S. Army's Command and General Staff College and the Naval War College. In these podcasts, I present information I think every citizen should know when participating in debates about our nation's involvement in war, not quite war, and ending war. If you think these podcasts are worthwhile, please hit like, subscribe, or follow. I apologize for another delay in publishing podcast episodes. While I was writing the previous episode on Clausewitz, I knew that I had to follow up with one on Sun Tzu. The challenge was describing why some people prefer Sun Tzu and reject Clausewitz. Why some people think Sun Tzu says something substantially different than Clausewitz. Is it a matter of style, or is there some fundamental disconnect between the thinking of these two military philosophers? But who was Sun Tzu, and why are business leaders and military theorists so enchanted by him? By tradition, Sun Tzu was a Chinese general of the Wu dynasty in the 6th century BC. He's known for a collection of military thoughts collectively known as the Art of War. These thoughts are proposed as timeless ideas about the strategic and operational levels of war. Sun Tzu's thoughts were not collected in his lifetime. His sayings were written down by various Chinese generals and only presented as a complete work in the 5th century BC, or about 100 years after Sun Tzu is thought to have lived. Because Sun Tzu's thoughts really represent an oral tradition, each major idea begins with the statement, Sun Tzu said. As is the case for most oral traditions, there may not have been one Sun Tzu, if such a person existed at all. These writings, collected from different sources at different times, may be a compilation of the thoughts of different Chinese generals using Sun Tzu's name to lend those thoughts greater authority. The Art of War is said to represent an Eastern approach to warfare, differing from military theorists of the West. The argument, therefore, is that to understand war in Asia, we must understand Sun Tzu. General Douglas MacArthur kept a copy of The Art of War on his desk, and we know that the Japanese Imperial General Staff studied Sun Tzu. The Art of War was studied by North Vietnamese officers in the Indochina Wars and by Mao Zedong. On the other hand, for both Vietnam and China, officers who studied in Moscow were taught Clausewitz. As a result, in Mao's writings, you can see elements drawn from both military theorists. Now, if Mao and contemporary Chinese military writing draw from both sources, does Sun Tzu really represent a unique Asian mindset? My own opinion is that Sun Tzu is not uniquely Chinese or Asian. Rather, like Clausewitz, the writings attributed to Sun Tzu identify universal precepts of war. But there are differences between the two. Whereas Clausewitz uses the language of the Enlightenment and provides historical examples from Hannibal to Napoleon, Sun Tzu speaks to us in simple aphorisms. Sometimes these statements are backed up by related single-sentence ideas. Sometimes they stand alone. Here are a few of the better-known examples. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. He who wishes to fight must count the cost. If a battle cannot be won, do not fight it. To secure ourselves against defeat lies in our own hands, but the opportunity of defeating the enemy is provided by the enemy himself. And one of my favorites, and one which recent political leaders in our national security structure seem to neglect, there is no instance of a country having benefited from prolonged warfare. The problem with military theory by aphorism is that many of the passages either translate poorly into English or they require commentary to understand. The first such commentary dates to the 3rd century AD. Of course, commentary is just someone's opinion of what Sun Tzu meant, and this first edition was no different, with the author admitting that he edited his source text and even removed some of the sayings. Clausewitz, on the other hand, explains what he means in his book On War, such as his most famous quote about war being a continuation of policy by other means. Sun Tzu, on the other hand, leaves his thoughts open to interpretation. One of his best-known passages reads, "Hence, to fight and conquer in all your battles is not supreme excellence. Supreme excellence consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting." Some people, especially business leaders, take this as meaning exactly what it says. But is that really what Sun Tzu meant? Is this an example of Sun Tzu or Clausewitz expressing diametrically opposed ideas? After all, Clausewitz wrote, "Kind-hearted people might think that there's some ingenious way to defeat an enemy without too much bloodshed." Pleasant as it sounds, it's a fallacy that must be exposed. Who is right, Clausewitz or Sun Tzu? Personally, I don't believe that there is a disagreement. Clausewitz maintained that victory only comes by placing the enemy in a position more intolerable than what we demand of him. This intolerable condition, Clausewitz explains, is to render the enemy utterly defenseless, or put him in a position that makes this danger probable. This is the aim of Sun Tzu's idea of breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting. Clausewitz admitted that victory can happen and has happened without a major battle, but that requires the enemy to face certain destruction by an opponent willing to shed whatever blood is necessary to achieve victory. A more thorough reading of Sun Tzu conveys the same idea. Hence the difficulty in relying on aphorisms and the danger in relying on other authors' interpretations of these concepts. Despite the difficulty of turning aphorisms into useful concepts, these aphorisms may be easier to use in conversation or debate than lengthy passages in Clausewitz. Clausewitz and Sun Tzu may express the very same idea, but Sun Tzu's short statements in active voice may have more impact on an audience. Some of Sun Tzu's sayings, however, are not suitable for modern warfare. For example, some sayings encourage looting, pillaging, and forcing captured soldiers to fight for you. These exceptions, however, do not negate the timeless concepts that apply to war in any age, in every location. Perhaps the most popular attribute of Sun Tzu's Art of War is its brevity. The whole book, without commentaries, is about 50 pages long, compared to On War, which runs more than 600 pages. Personal development author James Clear claims to summarize the Art of War in just 3 sentences. Know when to fight and when not to fight. Avoid what is strong and strike at what is weak. Know how to deceive the enemy. Appear weak where you are strong and strong where you are weak. Know your strengths and weaknesses. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If what I've said sounds like I'm dismissive of the Art of War, I'm not. Anyone interested in military thought should find a good edition and read it. Now, finding a good edition could be more difficult than it seems. Most of the versions I have seen contain more commentary than Sun Tzu's sayings, and seems to be written to use Sun Tzu to promote the author's own point of view on warfare. So be careful. Although I may quote Clausewitz more often, it is Sun Tzu's thought that is the foundation for this podcast series. Sun Tzu said, "The art of war is of vital importance to the state. It is a matter of life and death, a road either to safety or to ruin. Hence, it is a subject of inquiry which can on no account be neglected." And that is my purpose in these podcasts of the ancient art of modern warfare.